This is the Library Channel from Arizona State University. Episode 32, our Fall Semester 2006 Wrap-Up. I'm your host, Fred McElvain. Today, we'll be speaking with Ellen Welty, the Reference and Instruction Librarian at our Polytechnic campus.
Hello.
Steve Pelfrey, who's a Library Supervisor at our downtown campus.
Hello.
Tammy Allgood, who's the Digital Delivery and Design Librarian at the ASU West campus.
Hi, Fred.
And Jenny DuVernay, the head of the Instruction, Marketing, and Outreach Unit on the Tempe campus.
Hi, Fred. How are you today?
I'm great. I thought it would be a good idea to just kind of sit around and talk about what happened this fall, what new things happened, what we learned, and why don't we start with the downtown campus?
Okay. Well, as far as new things happening, we opened for the first time.
Yay!
Just pretty new, yeah.
When did you open?
August 21st.
And school started?
First day of class.
Yeah.
We were up and running. We didn't have all of our services available that first day. We had most of the basic ones. The whole campus opened on that day. So.
But you had friendly and available staff.
Yes. We did have
with
many
smiles
friendly.
On your face.
Yes, we weren't fully staffed, but we were close enough. Yeah. So.
How many staff did you have that day?
That day, I think we just had three. Yeah. So, it was a little crazy covering our hours and things like that. But it was so new down there at that time that people, I think, gave us the benefit of the doubt because every other department down there was struggling to get themselves up and running as well.
No, so probably noticed.
Right, exactly. There was so much chaos at the time that it kind of slid underneath the radar. Just to tell people where we're located, we're actually in the lower level of the University Center, which is at 411 North Central in downtown Phoenix.
It's a beautiful building.
Thank you. It's an old, it used to be the APS building,
yeah.
For
people
right.
That know that. And before that, it was a First National Bank building.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, the First National Bank had a very large concrete vault in their basement where we're located. And so the architects incorporated the vault into our space. And so it actually contains the library information literacy classroom is contained in the vault and also a pretty large lounge/reading area.
Yep.
It's really cool. You can still see the vault door.
The vault door is still intact. You can see where they cut through, I don't know how, maybe 2 feet of concrete with rebar in it to make the open space. And they've added a lot of glass, so it's not claustrophobic feeling or anything like that. They did a really nice job. I don't know how they did it. I wasn't there when that construction occurred, but I can imagine it was quite a huge deal. Our space is called an Information Commons. We actually, unlike other libraries at ASU, we actually share the space with the information, what are they called? Information Technology Services,
yeah,
for the downtown Phoenix campus. We work actually right alongside of them. We have a shared service desk, and they provide support for the entire downtown campus. We also have people from Quest Communications and from Dell Computers that work in our space as well, providing support for the campus. So that's been unique just because where I came from, it was just library. So now we're working with different departments and we collaborate on everything, on the management of the whole space.
Hey, you're much more embedded than...
Right, yeah, definitely.
We share space on our campus too.
Do you?
University College.
Oh, okay.
Information Technology is upstairs.
Okay. It's really nice to have Information Technology so close
because
you know, along with the LISP people at Hayden, they've been a big help in us getting all our software and hardware up and running.
Thanks. It was kind of touch and go there in the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, you guys were great. You guys were lifesavers. You really were. So, and everybody, a lot of people here really were. When we first opened, about 2 weeks before we opened, we got all our books, which was 27,000 books. I think 2,000 of them were nursing books and journals from Noble Science Library that were transferred down, and the other 25,000 were new books ordered through a vendor. And Deirdre Irvin and her staff at Hayden Stacks moved all of them down there for us and helped us unload them And then we had to put them in order. I think on opening day they were
a fun project.
I think on opening day we had it all but one row. So by the second day they were all completely in order.
Were they moved in order?
No, they were not. They were just in boxes.
Well, they couldn't because of the way they were stored. The storage yeah.
Right.
Thing. And yeah, they were stored on the Polytech
right.
campus and but they were not, you know, they were cataloged, but they were not
right.
shelf read at all before
right.
they went anywhere.
No, they were just, yeah, they were just thrown in boxes. So.
So, Steve, that sounds like it was a really intense but exciting project to open a brand new library.
It was.
And be ready for students.
It was. And my boss, Scott Muir, the library director, was hired, I believe, in July, or mm-hmm. and I was just hired at the beginning of August. So it was very much a hit-the-ground-running kind of thing.
And have the students found you?
They're starting to, yeah. We ended up with over 27,000 students who are visitors during the semester, and the numbers started increasing. I think the students that live there in the residential commons definitely know where we are, and more of the students who are commuters are learning where we are and using our space. As I said, it's also a computer lab, so we actually have laptops. We have 50 of those, so a lot of people come down just to use those. But we also have 15 really nice group study rooms, some of which are equipped with overhead projectors that you can plug your laptop into. And those started getting a lot of use toward the end of the semester. We would have all of them full, actually, toward the end of the semester.
That's
so
that's really great
yeah.
to have a lot of different varied spaces for students to work in.
And we do have a lot of nooks and crannies. We have a lot of study space, mm-hmm. All with where you can either plug in your laptop to the internet, or we have wireless as well. So it's really well wired as far as that goes.
Great.
So if students are using your library there, but they need materials from another campus, are they able to get books sent to them?
Yes, they are. They can request books from any other ASU library, and it generally takes 2 business days. We have a courier that picks up and drops off every morning, and that's worked real well from the very beginning. We've had because we have so many new books, a lot of people at other campuses have been requesting our books, so we've had a lot more outflow than inflow. Yeah, and of course they also were hooked up with the interlibrary loan department here at Hayden, so they can also utilize their services as well for getting books from different universities or articles. They can also request articles from any other ASU campus and have it electronically delivered.
And speaking of electronic, did all the electronic reserve stuff get resolved?
It did.
Okay.
It did. Yes. Yes.
We weren't exactly sure where that was going for a while.
Yes. We had to kind of improvise how we set up some of it, but it does work, and we do have things on electronic reserve and been placing things on all semester. Hopefully, we're going to try to reach out to the faculty more next semester and let them know what services we have. So I think the electronic or the reserves in general will have more of those as they find out where they're more available.
I hear that you have hired a couple new librarians.
We have.
To help your programs downtown.
We have. And we also hired our last support staff as well. So as of January 3rd, we'll be completely staffed.
How large is the staff now?
We'll have, 5 support staff, 2 librarians, and then the library director and his administrative associate.
Very good. So. Good. Well, let's move on
okay.
over to the other side of town
okay.
And talk to Polytechnic real quick. Alan, what have you guys been up to?
Okay, well, as I mentioned earlier, we share our space with University College on the same level as we are, and Information Technology upstairs. Sharing space with University College has had both rewards and challenges for us, because their culture is quite a bit different than ours is. They're very, very student service oriented, to the point that it's sometimes they have fundraising things all over the place all the time and things like that that don't actually fit in very well with library stuff. So we've had some.
But I want to point out that as a library, from the things that I read from your staff, you are very student oriented.
We are. But we're, I think, less focused on the fun stuff and more on the, you know,
okay.
Let's help you get this paper done kind of things. University College, of course, as you know, offers tutoring and all the other services that go along with academic support too. It's just that we don't see that quite as much at the front desk, and we share the desk with them.
I've had some discussions with people about University College, but could you kind of distill that down as to what
University College is? Primarily the unit that provides advising and other academic support services for non-declared majors.
Right.
And on our campus, at least, it includes administratively the International Programs Office and the Honors College Office, and I can't think. There's something else.
Okay.
That fit under that same administrative umbrella.
Okay.
So they have a lot of different services, all kind of congregated into their share of our space.
Now, is University College, is it spread over all the campuses?
It is.
Okay, because we have it at downtown as well.
The main unit is on your campus,
right.
As a matter of
That's
fact.
Right.
But I think, would think that from a student perspective, it could be really helpful to be
it
able
is.
To have tutoring and the library support all in one space. So the challenge that we have as staff, you know, aside, that from
right.
a student perspective, that it's great to have everything that you need in one location.
It is.
And you can, you know, use materials and help from different areas.
Not only do they get tutoring and test proctoring and everything like that, study space, group study space, all of the group study space is administered by University College. And we have the classroom on our side. But IT's upstairs, so they can get help with technology as well.
Mm-hmm. All without having to go outside into the sun.
Right.
Right.
Although it's a nice campus. I have not visited the library. I've only visited the storage building. But,
oh, uh-huh. Yeah,
but,
you need to come and see us.
Yeah, I do. And I need to go get down and see
yeah.
downtown.
We have
I need to go down there, too.
We have one-stop shopping in our building, too, because
yeah.
all the student success services and
right.
admissions and everything is just a floor above us. So.
I think it makes it really mm-hmm. easy to mm-hmm. make referrals. And mm-hmm. I know here on the Tempe campus, we're looking to sort of provide some space for some of those
right.
Tutoring services through the Writing Center and the Learning Resource Center in some of our library buildings to try mm-hmm. and build those relationships here.
What's also great about being small like we are and having everything in one building is you get to know everybody in the other departments
right.
and in the other offices, so it's very easy to know what is available for people and to who to send them to.
That has started to change for us a little mm-hmm. bit because we're not all in the same building anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When we were all in the building that we're in, we all knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
We knew most of our students, probably most of them by their first name.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew everything that was happening
right.
anywhere on campus. And
right.
we don't anymore, of course.
That was just a result of growth.
Right.
Uh-huh. So, Ellen, I have to ask you about one of your marketing approaches. We keep hearing about the porcelain press.
Porcelain press.
Can you tell us about the porcelain press?
The Porcelain Press is a newsletter that we print every other week, and it hangs on the inside of the bathroom stalls.
And are those bathrooms all over campus?
Well, it used to be all over campus, but Danielle, my colleague Danielle, and one student are the ones who put it up. So we've had to scale back a little bit, and we put it in the four main buildings now. But we've gotten a lot of comment about it from a lot of people.
It's been really effective. We've had people who use services and comment about them
mm-hmm.
On our campus that they happen to be on Polytechnic campus and
mm-hmm.
and saw the porcelain press in the bathroom
right.
and that's how they knew about RefWorks or Ask
right.
a Librarian or
right.
something like that.
Because
so.
We always have a tip. The first semester that we hung it up, we had a trivia contest and we offered prizes. We had bookstore things and the restaurants that are close by. We had sandwich, you know, free Subway, things like that. So that was kind of fun. And amazingly enough, the contest proved to be less popular than we thought, or diminishing popularity.
Right.
We weren't getting as many responses. So we discontinued that after the first semester. And we still have trivia, but we don't ask any questions. No one has to come in. Our intent for the contest was to... The only way you could respond to the contest was to drop off your response at the Oasis desk in the library.
Oasis desk. Now, what is an Oasis desk?
Our Oasis is our service desk.
Oh.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And it was named before we got there. Well, before the library owned it.
Ah.
It was, It used to be Student Services, and it has Oasis on it, so it's, that's always been our name.
Huh. That's a nice visual.
It is. A nice desk, too. Uh-huh. But that was the only way that one could turn in a response to the trivia contest, and the objective, of course, was to get people in the library. And after the contest itself became less popular, we haven't had any trouble in the last while getting people in the library. We've been pretty...
So people have found you and you're popular.
We this year finally succeeded, or last year succeeded, in getting our name on the sign. Right.
It helps to have your name on the sign.
Yes. After 8 years on the Polytech campus, now library appears on some of the signs. You wouldn't believe what a struggle.
And now people know where you are.
That's right. Now people know where
That's
we are.
That's great.
It is great. Yeah, we've had a lot of a big increase in our gate count, and our service hours now are from 8 a.m. until midnight, Monday through Thursday.
Wow, that's a change.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It is. It is.
And how large is the staff out there?
About the same as the downtown campus. We have two librarians and our director. And we have 5 staff, plus 1 staff who works over here for us.
Right.
Okay. When we started here, when we started out there, in order to accomplish our document delivery goal, which was as close to 24 hours as we could possibly be, we arranged with the University Library Administration to occupy a room over at Noble. And we've had that ever since. And we have 1 staff, and she has students. And she does our scanning and pulls the books for us that are requested from the Tempe campus and puts them in the
Interestingly enough, when we were setting that up, it's sort of like an embassy, mm-hmm. because the room is set up for everything to appear that you're actually on the Polytechnic campus, although you're on our campus.
Right, right. That's right.
So that if you check out a book, it looks like that's where it's going and this
right.
sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd never done that before.
Mm-hmm. And it's worked very well for us.
I really think that the commitment with the different campus libraries to provide the students and faculty to access to all the materials, regardless of where they are, is a really great service, mm-hmm. and it's a key to us to be successful.
It is.
And even though different campuses accomplish that slightly different ways, it's I know the students and the faculty really appreciate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's call in Tammy here.
I'm here.
what can you update us on?
Well, at the West Campus, we had Starbucks open up this semester.
Yay! How did that go, Tammy?
Yeah, and it definitely did increase traffic in the library. We noticed that. So this semester, it's been really nice having a coffee shop right there.
Is this a Starbucks that's operated by your food service vendor?
Yes. Yeah, it is operated by them. Yeah.
So the smell of coffee beans over the reference book.
What's that?
The smell of coffee beans over the reference books?
Yes, and actually we're going to be, we have a collection of popular magazines that we're going to unveil next semester, and that's going to be just outside of Starbucks, and we're going to include some comfortable seating around there, so that'll be a really comfortable environment. I think that magazine collection was actually a donation from a former student and frequent library user, so that's going to be something to look forward to next semester.
That'll be great.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've been adding, of course, more materials to our shelves. So we bought new shelving in the stacks, and then we shifted the collection a little bit to accommodate our growing number of materials.
So that's always a fun job.
A little bit. Oh, yeah. Always growing. Let's see what else. Oh, we're handling copyright requests for digital reserves ourselves through the DocuTech e-reserves service. So that's been, it's been going really well. It's been very successful.
So can you talk a little bit more about that, Tammy?
Well, I wish I knew more about it. Karen Grondin is handling those the digital reserves. So she would be the person to talk to at the West Campus if you're interested in doing digital reserves and you want to know more about the copyright. Karen Grondin, who you can contact her through our website's Contact Us page, she'd be the person to talk to about the details.
West does not handle electronic digital reserves the way the other campuses do. They have a separate system from DocuTech, which handles that. And I guess from what you're saying, I'm imagining that Karen is now actually working with the copyright issues directly.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, she sure
Instead
is.
Of having the faculty request that.
Right.
So that's a really added service to the faculty mm-hmm. on your campus.
Mm-hmm.
We, in contrast, because we don't have time to do that, have are pushing our e-reserves out into the Blackboard environment and.
That's right.
And requiring that the faculty obtain the necessary copyright. We're giving a workshop in the spring on coordinating it on copyright.
So, Tammy, for the spring, is your new classroom going to be available?
Yes, it looks like our timeline is end of January is when we hope to be able to use it, and that should add, I think it added 20 seats to our existing classroom. So that'll be great to be able to teach library skills courses in that classroom. It's very up-to-date, all new equipment and technology hardware, and so that'll be exciting.
I heard there's even surround sound.
Oh, there is. Yeah, it'll be great to watch movies.
Movie night at the Fletcher Library.
Exactly.
Now, is this located in the same location your old classroom was in?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it sure is.
The same behind the
location. We took down a few walls and expanded it.
Oh, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
So that's great. We also, one last thing, we have a new online account access for current blocked accounts and community borrowers. Before, community borrowers and blocked accounts couldn't renew or request materials online. They had to actually call in to do that. And we now have an online web page with a back-end database that actually can do that for, people can do that themselves online. So if they want to renew materials and request materials, they can do that. And that's linked off our homepage. There's a requesting materials link off the homepage. So that's an exciting service.
Yeah, that's also a service that a lot of community patrons have told us that they really appreciate and that they really use a lot. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, so popular. Thanks to West for developing that mm-hmm. service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because all of the campuses are benefiting from it.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Now, is that link from the homepage or the Fletcher Library?
It's from the Fletcher Library homepage on ours. The request materials off of that one.
You can also access it by clicking on Community and Visitors on the
good.
ASU Library homepage, and then there's a link right to it.
Okay, mm-hmm. that's excellent. Mm-hmm.
And one last thing that's near and dear to me is our computer game. We've been creating a game for teaching library skills to English 101 students, and we have completed it as of Tuesday of this week.
Oh, how exciting.
So we're going to actually use it for the first time in classes this semester. And it's the first real interactive computer game developed by a library to teach library skills. So we're really excited about it and are interested to see, you know, how effective it is and to assess the different learning that takes place in the gaming process. So very exciting.
Well, Tammy, I know that you worked very long and hard on that, so congratulations.
Yeah, I think I lost a few brain cells along the way.
And
no.
I personally
the whole team worked really hard on it.
I can't wait to see it. So I hope that you are going to be able to share it with us
so we
can see the fruits of your labor.
It's very cute.
I hope so, too.
It's very, very cute. And I think everyone's hair color came out very nicely.
Thanks.
I know what a tough decision that was.
Yep.
Well, Jenny, let's talk about Tempe campus.
Well, we have had another busy semester, just like everybody else. We have had a little bit of construction, as the West campus did. We closed down our quiet study room on the entrance level. It just didn't work to have the quiet study room adjacent to the cafe who plays music during the day.
Funny thing.
So we actually are repurposing that space, and we've built some enclosed group study rooms where student groups can work together, have a whiteboard, and sort of enclosed space. But then the rest of the space that's not enclosed will have open tables, again, with the intention of groups to be working there. And that's going to be right on the entrance level to the left as you come in. At the same time, what we did was to listen to student feedback on how they like to use the Hayden Library in particular, and we created some designated study zones. We have people who like to study with noise, and we have a lot of people who like to study in quiet. And the students wanted to know, wanted to be able to expect, you know, a certain level of noise or quiet in particular areas. So throughout the Hayden Library and all the places where you can gather, we have designated study zones with corresponding stop light graphics. So the green light, you can talk. The yellow light is quiet, and you're supposed to, you know, talk only quietly. And then there's a red, like a red zone, where you're not supposed to talk at all. And those are tend to be the favorite sleeping zones. we're calling them silent, but I think that they're the sleepers. And for the most part, that has turned out really, really well. And the only real complaints we had from students were when other students weren't respectful of what the zone was designed for. So cell phones continue to be a challenge because people take and make calls in quiet areas, and they don't always self-police to take them to the stairwells. But we'll be working on that to try and make sure that the library can provide supportive environment for as many people as we can.
I thought that was going to be somewhat of a challenge for the staff, and it has. It doesn't seem to be. It seems to be.
It's hard when you have a staff working area right next to a quiet zone.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge. Fred works in a department that is in that situation. And so while they're behind a door, when you come out, sometimes we tend to continue our conversations. But you haven't felt
actually having most of the quiet study Carroll areas moved away from our office space has really helped because, I mean, we don't stand in our office and scream, or at least not very often, but but it was a challenge because students would be studying literally outside our doors.
We have had that challenge as well.
Yeah.
Because our office is all open right out into, we don't have a common office area. We just have offices that open right out into the study area.
And
so it's kind of it's always been kind of a.
So one of the lessons from this is that, one, we try and pay attention to when students rearrange furniture because they'll rearrange it
the way it
needs to be for them.
Right. The way it works.
And so we did some observations this fall, and in the spring we're going to be, I believe, doing some rearranging of the furniture ourselves to try and match up. And the biggest thing is that they need to have access to outlets.
Yes.
The university is really promoting, you know, students having their own laptops. A lot of students have them, but our buildings were not designed for every student to have a laptop. So as a result, sometimes in our spaces you have you know, extension cords extending through pathways and odd sort of furniture arrangements for people to try and reach that. So that's one way where we're going to try and respond to student needs. And while we can't get new furniture, we are going to be moving the tables so that they're closer to the outlets. We also did, in both the Hayden and the Noble libraries, provide a little bit of space, as we mentioned, for tutoring. In the Hayden Library, the Writing Center, who I believe is affiliated with University College, they have hours on the weekend, on Saturdays, and then in the spring they're going to add Tuesdays and Thursday afternoons in a space on the entrance level of Hayden. And the Learning Resource Center, which is another tutoring center on campus, they had student study groups that met in the Noble Library, and they're considering adding some tutoring in that same space. So again, we're trying to partner with the academic success groups on campus so that, especially on this campus, it's so big, if your students come to the library to do some work and then you have to send them off across campus to go get tutoring and to go find a computer, trying to make it have multiple services available in one space. So that's been great. And then there's a major change over in the Noble Library, which the downtown and Polytechnic campus has already sort of paved the way, and that is there's going to be one service desk where you check out books, get help with your research, anything you need help with in the Noble Library, there's one location now to do it. And that's on the entrance level to the right as you enter.
So are you telling me that the reference desk as it is will not be there?
The reference desk, actually this past semester it had already been changed, and it is now laptop zone.
Wow.
So students in groups many times will huddle around the old reference desk, around a laptop working on projects. But no, there's no separate reference desk. The reference staff and the circulation staff are going to be working together in that one spot. Again, trying to consolidate and not have to make the students and faculty try and decide who can help me. Right. You know, you go to one place and then they'll help figure out who needs to.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Yeah, well, I know at the smaller libraries, both downtown and Polytechnic, that you do double duty as reference and circ and
whatever we need to do, we do.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But we don't maintain regular reference hours either. When we're there and available, the help desk, the OASIS desk people can send people back to our offices to see us. We're literally on call all the time, if we're not, we close our doors if we have to do something that's, you know, can't be disturbed.
Yeah.
But most of the time, we just do consultative reference. Somebody needs really one-on-one help.
Yeah.
So, and that's going to be a similar model at Noble. The people who are working the desk will have training and helping people do research at sort of an introductory level. And then if they need advanced help, then they'll help them connect with a subject librarian who either might be there or they might have to set up an appointment.
Right.
But we're really excited to see how that will go in Noble. It's the second largest library on campus, but it is significantly smaller than Hayden. And so we believe that that's going to work really well.
It works really well for us. For the first time, we've had to go to a liaison, faculty liaison kind of structure, because we have so many new programs, and there are only two of us to take care of all of the reference and instruction. So we have a new liaison page we will have as soon as our new webpage.
So Ellen, what subject areas are you going to be covering?
There's about 20. And I don't know that I can name them.
Would be a good test.
Right. Humanities, education, aviation.
Humanities and aviation go really well together.
I thought they did. I'm quite excited about the possibilities. I can't remember. But our new webpage will probably go live before the beginning of spring term.
Steve, now you have the College of Nursing and
the School of Social Work and the College of Public Programs.
And is anybody else moving over there soon?
In 2008, the Cronkite School will be moving.
Okay.
Journalism will be moving.
Wow, that's
there.
A big move.
Yeah. And I believe KAET will be moving. I'm not sure if the exact same time, but in that same time frame, they'll be moving down there as well.
Wow.
So we're building, the journalism school will be in a new building, which is being built on our parking lot just north of our building, north of the university center, which is also right across the street from the residential commons. And I believe a new dorm is also going in just to the north of the residential commons.
That's what I've heard.
Also, yeah. I believe in by 2008, they want to have it up so that people in the journalism school can live there.
Well, so now we do have resident students on all four campuses,
all four campuses,
don't we?
Have now? Residents.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Correct, Tammy?
Yep, we have students on ours as well.
Yep. Yeah, I think the last time I was out there, they were showing me that they were just being finished up. And.
Yeah, we've had them, I think, 2 years now. We've had students in them.
I haven't been over there in a while.
Yeah.
We have family housing. We're the only campus, I believe, that has family housing because we have houses. Many houses, in fact.
Wow. Well, Jenny, anything else?
I wanted to quickly congratulate Jenny Duvernay for winning the New York Times Librarian Award of the Year.
Yes.
That award ceremony, and that's a really big deal, and we're very, very proud of her and just wanted to say congratulations.
Thank you. It was very exciting, and it actually leads into the other thing I wanted to mention about the fall is that the professor who nominated me for the award works with the writing programs in the English department, and she was especially appreciative of some of the new initiatives we've been working on to support that very large, I think she says there's 9,000 students enrolled in the classes that we've covered, and we've tried to set up some support, both in-person instruction for the classes. We've developed some tutorials instructions on how they can incorporate the library resources into their Blackboard. We've just tried to sort of beef up our support of a really big program on campus. And I know in the fall we did like 80 in-person classes, and I haven't gotten any statistics of how many people had used the online resources yet. So that was a really big initiative in my area to try and connect the library to first-year students mm-hmm. right away, so that if they come back later in their majors, when, you know, when they're in their biology classes or their psychology classes, that they have a foundation to build on. And so that was really exciting to have them respond so well to that.
Great.
So what are we doing in the spring?
Ha ha.
That's what I want to know.
Tammy, any news from what?
We're doing the game, and the classroom will be open. Other than that, I can't think of anything offhand. I know there are things that we're doing.
Those are pretty big things, though.
Right.
Is that game's going to be used on for the English composition classes on your campus?
Yes, the one-on-ones, yeah.
So we'll be looking at how that impacts those instruction.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Ellen?
We're offering a series of faculty workshops. Copyright is one of them, but we have workshops on using RefWorks for faculty and how to offering them ways to help their students do better research and those kinds of things. So we'll see how those are received. We are also, material is being transferred to our campus for the PE program, which we have PE and exercise and wellness. So all of the journals, I understand, for PE are coming out to us. And the books will probably follow. But that means that we need to come up with shelves.
Hey, you're going to do the project that Tammy said that
right.
they did at West. We have to buy shelves and shift things around.
Yes, we have to move things around and make room. And we've been doing some of that, and it's been kind of fun and interesting.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the marketing committee you're on?
The marketing committee, I'm on for Electronic Resources, ERM?
Yes.
Yes. We are working on figuring out the best way to notify all of our users of new products offered by the libraries. And I telephoned the Oregon Health Sciences Library today to ask if they did any particular marketing when they brought up the ERM module. And the woman I need to speak to wasn't there, so she will call me back or email me.
Yeah, let me just clarify that. The ERM module will help us manage electronic resources much more seamlessly and get things up much more quickly, mm-hmm. Hopefully in such a transparent way that our patrons will be totally unaware that we've changed systems mm-hmm. or that we actually now have a system.
Or they will know instantly by looking at the record what we have and where it is.
Yes, but one of the issues that has always dogged us is getting that information out to our mm-hmm. customers of what we have and how to use it. mm-hmm. So we're taking this opportunity with the development of that module mm-hmm. to also incorporate the marketing aspects that we should have done probably many years ago.
Mm-hmm. We can catch up now.
Yes, we
That's
can.
That's right. It'll be fine. No
but we just keep adding more of them. So.
That's right. We'll have more to share.
They'll be so impressed with what we can do for them.
Jenny?
Well, in addition to the new group study rooms that we talked about in the merge desk, we're going to have a new sort of outlet for the library channel in the physical libraries on the Tempe campus. There's flat screen monitors in the lobby of Hayden Library and the Noble Library, where we'll be able to share information and other productions of the library channel. So we're really actually very excited about that. And that should be launching in January.
Do you have anything else that you would like to add?
Well, we will have all of our positions filled, including the two librarians, six support staff, and student workers. We're going to continue to review our collection development needs, and we'll be adding a lot throughout the semester. We also, I think at West, they're doing something similar. We're going to have an area with popular magazines in our vault, in the reading spot in the vault, where people can just browse magazines. And they won't be library items per se. They'll, if they want to take them, they can. They'll just be there for people, like Time and Harper's. And
I think that'll be really helpful and popular because the students don't have a any relaxation space on the downtown campus.
Right, they still don't have a union? A student union.
Yeah.
So we are trying to try to fill that gap. We do have a reading space on the second floor of the University Center, which we maintain, where we put out newspapers every day. And there's also donated books there that we actually got from Hayden that people are free to browse or take if they want. Our web page will be up and running, hopefully in early January. Right now, we just kind of have a sort of a dummy page linked to the ASU homepage. We're going to have one that's more specific to downtown with links to all of our resources. And we're also creating... working on our own brochures and handouts, working with Jenny on developing those.
Well, great. It sounds like we're all working together.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all. This has been very informative, and we'll have to do this again at the end of the spring semester and see what we're going to do over the summer. This is Fred McElvain, and you have been listening to the Library Channel, your source for news and information at the ASU Libraries. Thanks for listening. The Library Channel is produced by Arizona State University Libraries and is copyright 2006 Arizona Board of Regents.